We are joined right here in studio by a multi-talented Bangor native, screenwriter, a producer, actor. Her latest film is called Wildflower, and there will be a special screening coming up Thursday night at the Bangor Arts Exchange on Exchange Street in Bangor, sponsored by the Maine Film Association. Happy to welcome to the program Jana Savage. Jana, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Great to have you here. You can just look over your shoulder and see your old high school across the way.
I did. We did a little cheer when we were walking up with the whole Bangor High School song.
So oh, nice. Fun. Yep. All right, we won't ask you to do the school song, but well, I'm sure you could.
I do remember it.
Sticks with you.
Mm-hmm.
Fellow Bangor man myself here, so I remember these things. Well, this is very exciting to have a chance to have your film seen mm-hmm. here by a hometown crowd. How did all this come together?
Well, the Maine Film Association reached out about doing a screening, and I said, well, I'm actually going to be in town for the month of August visiting. So they said, well, let's do it while you're here, and then we could make a little bit of an event out of it. We're going to do a cocktail reception before, do a screening, and then a Q&A after with me. And so I thought that would be so much fun. You know, I think the people I care most about liking my movies and what I'm doing are mostly here. So I thought that would be a great idea. So I'm very, very excited.
Well, can you tell the backstory of this film? Because it's a very interesting story, close to the heart of the director, Matt mm-hmm. Smuckler, yep. based on his family. And then you did a documentary based on yep. the family. How did it become a feature film?
So he and I had worked on a project before that has yet to see the light of day, as happens oftentimes in Hollywood, but we worked very well together, and we knew we wanted to work on something else. And I asked him what he was really passionate about, and he said, I'm really passionate about making a narrative version of this documentary that I did. And I said, well, let me watch it. And I started watching it, and I was like, okay, this looks like it's going to be sweet, and I get what it's going to be. And then it just kind of really surprised me, because it was sweet and lovely, but it was also very funny and real and sad. And I thought, okay, this would be really great. I want to do this, but I want to do this as like a kind of dark coming of age comedy. And he was like, I think that's the way it has to be, because there's some really delicate, interesting, hard subject matters. And so that was something that I just wrote it on spec together. We had no idea if anybody would even want to read it, but we both had faith in the project. And so it was crazy for timeline wise. I think from the time when we wrote it to shooting was under 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So I said, he's a very prolific, celebrated commercial director. But I was like, don't get used to this, as we've seen with our next project that we're working on together. But so that's really the roots of how it came. And just, I think his connection to the material and me having that, being able to watch the documentary, but also just have his experiences that he told me stories. And then I, you know, we did fictionalize it. A lot is from the documentary and from stories, but also I was able to infuse my own experiences of growing up. And because at the end of the day, it really is a universal film about family and coming of age.
And does deal with people with special needs. And that, of course, makes you, I would have to imagine, work even harder to make sure that you're telling their story in an mm-hmm. honest way. And I saw that you even worked with a representation yep. activist to make sure you did things right.
We did. From the time from casting throughout the film to editing, trying to stay up, you know, even on the terms. You know, when we started out, it was, I believe, intellectually disabled, and you know, the terminology kind of changed to neurodivergent or we became more aware. And so kind of navigating that landscape. But you have to step back and really say, okay, why am I telling the story? What am I telling? Why is it important? And everything I do has a lot of comedy in it. And so what we really aim to do, and what I hope I did, is make sure that it was clear that we were never trying to make fun. But there's so much joy and laughter in this family in real life that I wanted to show that. And also there was some really hard subject matters. And, you know, if you watch the movie, you'll see there's one particular scene where they're talking about something that is very a sensitive topic. And I thought the only way we can do this is through comedy. And so that was, you know, hopefully something that people think we handled well.
Well, and you managed to put together a phenomenal cast.
It's, I can't believe it's still
it's like
day.
The A-team. I mean, look, Kiernan Shipka, loved her in Mad Men. She's amazing. But then, my God, Charlie Plummer, Jackie Weaver, Jean Smart, for crying out loud, yep. Brad Garrett, Reed Scott, and on and on. How'd you do that?
I don't know. I think, you know, Kieran was the first piece that we got, and we were like, okay, we're doing this, is happening. But then when we got Jean, well, then everybody else was like, oh, well, you know, oh yeah, I'll do it. I want to do it, you know. And it was like, in just the first day of filming, it was, you know, it's not about me, but, you know, as you're on set, you know, it is about you in your own head. And I'm thinking, oh my God, these people are like saying the words that I wrote. This is, and another very different experience, which I rarely experience, is that I was the only one that wrote, you know, really touched the script. You know, Matt and I came up with the story together, but then I was like, I'm writing this, because it's so often you get rewritten over and over and over again. And by the time it gets to screen, for better or worse, it's not what you wrote. And this was what I wrote. And then obviously just elevated and made better by Matt. But so to see them actually speaking the words that I actually intended and then making them better. And then Reed too, which unfortunately a lot of it didn't get into the movie because we just didn't have enough time. But he's such a phenomenal improviser. And so I was like, oh, he's going to make me so good, because he was just spouting out stuff. It was so funny. So yeah, every day. And Brad Garrett, he's so funny, but he honestly, on set, he was making everyone cry because he was just so emotional. And so it was just, I still can't believe it.
All right, so if people want to see the film and then get a chance to participate in a Q&A with you, it's coming up this Thursday night at Bangor Arts Exchange. You can go online. Tickets free.
Free. Yeah.
And it's pretty easy to do. You just go to Bangor Arts Exchange and it's right there for the link. I want to go back a little bit, though, because I work with theater kids across the river over in Brewer. And, you know, we always get people who want to make it, and whether it's Broadway or Hollywood, often have that dream, and those dreams often get dashed. But but you've lived that dream. Yeah. How did you make that leap, and what have been the biggest challenges and the biggest rewards along the way for you?
I think the first step is admitting that you have a problem. I had to admit to myself that I wanted to do that. I secretly, in college, my degree is in economics and Spanish, but I came out as wanting to be an actor, and you know, everyone around me was like, yeah, that's not shocking to me, or you're completely dramatic. But from there, I just found a way through my school. I went to Boston University, and I weaseled my way into the communications program and did an internship in LA, where I interned on, at the time I didn't realize how big shows they were, but it was The West Wing and Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, those did okay.
Yeah, most did okay.
Yeah.
And then I think at that point it was just accepting that, okay, that I wanted it, and realizing that why I wouldn't accept it is like it seemed impossible. You know, like anyone from a small town probably has that thought of like, well, I can't do this. I'm from a tiny, tiny town. And so that was the first step, is just admitting that it was possible, and that I might try, and that I might fail, and I might look stupid. And then when I did that, then it just became just sticking it out, staying, not leaving, and being open, because for the first, I don't know, 7-8 years, just solely acted, and I fell into the writing part of it. And I think if I had said, well, no, I'm not a writer, then I would have probably missed out on more acting opportunities because I write myself little parts. But I think being open to the fact that, like, maybe my path would look a little bit different. But, it's really just sticking it out. And I think, like, if you really, it's something that you really, really do want, you will find success if you keep at it. It may look differently than you expect. Like a lot of hard work, luck, a little bit of talent, and just sticking it out.
Well, and I have to think too, having that extra item on that skill set. Oh yeah, I act, yes, but I'm also a writer.
Yep.
That's got to help too, because you never know where the openings are going to come up.
Yep.
And you've been out there long. Out there, what, 20 years?
20 years.
Yeah. So people know you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, they say, I don't know, is it 15 or 20 years is the overnight success.
Right.
So, now, but I was doing pretty good. I did star in 2 dog food commercials prior to this, so I could have just hung my hat on that. But I
are you able to talk about, because I know we're dealing with the strike, are you able to talk about Praise This on Peacock?
Sure. That was a film that came out in March, I believe. I have to be honest on one. That was one of the former experiences I mentioned earlier, where it really was just a different... It was my first studio film that I ever worked on, and it was an amazing experience. But a writer-director came on, and she took it and kind of brought it in her direction and vision. So I went to the premiere. I was like, oh, that's okay. This is a different movie, and that's okay. You know, there's definitely perks to doing a studio movie as well, to, you know, different than a independent film. But it's a really fun, big musical comedy, just fun, set in the praise world, kind of a competition film as well. So it's a good time. It's on Peacock.
And what about writing projects? Have you got others that you've started on, or ideas that you've jotted down? I think this will work.
Oh, yeah. So before the strike, I was able to complete some projects. One is, I can't say the name of it, but it's a sequel to a early 2000s teen film that people of that era will definitely recognize. I'm really excited because the whole cast is coming back for that. And I also closed the deal on a animated film on another big kind of IP for a studio, which I can't say the name of, not because I'm cool. It's just, you know, I just can't.
No, you're cool. I'm cool, but that's not the reason why.
That's not why. And then also Matt Smuckler and I, our next project that we're doing together before the strike, I was able to at least complete the script, and we're kind of on standstill till the strike is over. But it's another coming of age. It's coming of age horror, and it does take place in Bangor, Maine.
Oh boy. I love it.
So we do hope to shoot at least as much as we can here.
Well, that's great.
Because I'm like, I refuse to fake the landmarks. I want to do it here.
Right. Well, that's wonderful.
I'm really excited about that.
And as for the strike, we've talked with a number of people, and the average television or film viewer, I don't think, understands the economics of all this, that, you know, the people that you know by name and see all the time on your TV or at the movies, that's an incredibly small percentage of the working actors and writers in the business. And for most people, it's trying to get that next job and wondering where the money's going to come from.
Yep. Yeah. And I think you really do. You're your own boss, you're running your own business, and you really have to hunt for your food. And a lot of the things that we're fighting for are the things that make it not a gig economy. And I think, you know, part of the reason why people are really paying attention is because a lot of the things that we're fighting for are things that are going to affect people in every industry.
Well, when you look at the technology and how that can impact things, that's going to be huge.
Yeah. And it's real. And I think for years we were like, Skynet, come on. But you know, it's a real thing. But it's also too, you know, the fairness of the residuals and the technology, and you know, it's time that we've caught up with the technology. And there are other issues that are very specific to our industry, but just the idea of the middle class writer and actor, it's time.
Absolutely. Well, we wish you good luck with the film. Thursday night again at Bangor Arts Exchange, a chance to see Wildflower and ask some questions of Janet Savage. Mm-hmm. Enjoy your time back home.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
It's great to see you. Thanks for bringing your sister along too. You kept her quiet the whole time. I
know. I tried. She kept trying to talk. She's like,
Janet Savage with us here on Downtown.